Before the Lord ascended into heaven, He promised us the Holy Spirit, the Helper, and today is the day. And to commemorate the coming of the Holy Spirit, we have this Whit Sunday. Acts chapter 1, verses 3 to 5 says, "To these He also presented Himself alive after His suffering, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. He resurrected on the third day after the crucifixion, and He appeared before the disciples, and He talked about many things about the kingdom of God. Verse 4, gathering them together, He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which He said, 'You heard of from Me.' For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So, the Holy Spirit was going to come, He promised. So the disciples, more than 120 apostles and disciples, they gathered together and prayed fervently. And as a result, Acts 2:1 says, "When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance." So before the word of the Lord given before His ascension was fulfilled here. So from this time on, it is the era of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38 says, "Peter said to them, 'Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" So what is the reason that the gift of the Holy Spirit is given to us? Let me talk about it in three categories. This message was given by the senior pastor previously on one of the Whit Sundays. And let us think about those three points that the senior pastor had given once again. So why is the gift of the Holy Spirit given to those who accept Jesus Christ? The first reason is because God loves us so much. Through the message of the cross, the sermons, we learned about why the Father God is cultivating human beings on this earth. And the reason is that we cast away sins and evil. And the attributes, the nature of God is goodness and love, and we can fill ourselves with goodness and love and become His children who resemble God and enjoy and share love with the Father God and the Lord forever together in heavenly kingdom and, if possible, in New Jerusalem. But unlike this intention of God, people went astray. Romans 1:21 says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And they don't recognize the living God. They worship creatures as God." And God, it's not that God didn't know about it. He knows the heart of each one. So He knows what they would do, what they do. And yet, God continued to do the human cultivation. If God had given up on human beings, on human cultivation. Most of us would have gone to hell. Just a few could be spared. So, but because God did not give up human cultivation when the time came, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. We didn't ask for Him. We didn't pray about it. And yet, the Father God sent His Son, Jesus, to this earth. So, as said in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So if we just accept Jesus Christ and become the children of God, we can have the right as a children of God. The enemy, devil, thought killing Jesus would give them permanent, perpetual authority over human beings. But that was, they were digging their own tombs. However, even after that, they continue to work. They never give up either. So 1 Peter 5:8 says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So they don't just give up on the believers either. Even they try to instigate, tempt and deceive even the believers to lead them to the way of hell. But we know, if we repent of our sins and accept Jesus Christ, God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit, but we still have the sinful natures in us. So we have the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and boastful pride of life. So we, if we seek the worldly things as the unbelievers, then we are prone to commit sins. So if we keep on committing sins, even if there is the way of salvation opened for us, we'll end up in hell if we continue to commit sins. So God had a plan about this as well. Joel 2:28 says, it had come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old man will dream dreams, your young man will see visions. God didn't just leave us unprotected from the devil prowling around like a roaring lion, but He gave us the Holy Spirit. John 14:16 says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. So once, if God gives us the Holy Spirit, He may be with us forever. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. So Holy Spirit being with us is the same as God being with us. So if we really believe this fact, then how emotional it is that God is with us. God Himself is with us. So one, we can see that if you receive the Holy Spirit, there is tremendous change taking place. We can think about Peter. He was the foremost of the 12 disciples, and he said, even if all others leave you, I will not. And he boldly said before Jesus. But right at that moment, he thought it was truthful. He was talking about the truth. But when his life was actually threatened, he became afraid. His faith was not standing firm. So he denied the Lord Jesus 3 times. He even cursed Jesus. And when he denied Jesus the third time, and when he was turning away, he had eye contact with Jesus, and seeing the love-filled eyes of Jesus, he realized what he had done, and he began to weep and mourn so much, and he followed Jesus at a distance. At that time, previously, he thought he loved God, but he didn't have the strength and power to keep his faith. However, just like in the reading passage, Jesus told them to not leave Jesus and wait. And when they were praying, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to speak in tongues. Other tongues If you read through the Bible, in the festivities of Israel, those Jews from other parts of the world, they were to come back to Israel and visit the Jerusalem temple. And a very strange thing happened. In today's sense, those who came from the United States, they were hearing English. Those who came from Italy, they were hearing Italian. From France, they were hearing French. Like maybe if they were here, they came from Pakistan, they were hearing their own language, Urdu. And some of them were saying, these people, they were drunk from the morning. And one of the people who stood up, it was Peter. He denied Jesus three times, but he was totally changed. So he quoted Joel, the passage from Joel and also from the Psalms. And he talked about the coming of the Lord, dying and crucifixion and ascension, resurrection and ascension. So the message was so powerful that just men, 3,000 men, repented and became disciples. So before and after Peter received the Holy Spirit, he was a completely different person. And in Acts chapter 3, there was a man who was born innately lame. He couldn't sit, he couldn't stand or walk. But Peter made him stand up and walk. And with this sign and miracle, so many people followed Jesus, Peter and his, and the disciples. So the leaders, religious leaders, they were jealous of them and they arrested him and beat him and told him not to preach. Previously, Peter wouldn't have been able to say anything back, but he was a totally different person. They, sternly warned them not to speak about in the name of Jesus. But Acts 4:19 says, "But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than God, you be the judge.' And they were not afraid at all. For we cannot keep stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." So Peter was completely changed, transformed. And not just this time, but until he was crucified upside down. Until he was martyred, he was never afraid of anything. And being worthy of the foremost of the 12 disciples, he boldly and confidently became a martyr. Not just Peter alone, one person. In the Bible, among the 12 disciples, we have this first disciple, apostle who was martyred. It was James. It was at the time of Herod the king, Herod Agrippa. He was an Edomite, his origin. And as an Edomite, to rule over Jews, Israel, he had a sense of inferiority. And because the Jews wouldn't recognize them, acknowledge them. So he had to buy the hearts of the people. And he had to pretend to be keeping the law. And so he tried many ways to buy the hearts of the people. And one of them is to arrest the disciples and kill them. And he knew that the religious leaders of the Judaism and the people, some of the people hated these disciples. So as a test, Herod killed James with a sword. And the Jews, they were happy. So Herod arrested Peter also. So he planned to kill him after the festivity of unleavened bread. But by the help of the angels, Peter was released, and until he was martyred, he preached the gospel everywhere. And the only one who lived up to his all his days is John. And so because Jesus asked him to take care of Mary, he did. And when Judah fell in AD 70, he ministered in Jerusalem. And he was finally arrested and he was thrown into a boiling oil, but he survived. So people couldn't deal with him any longer. So they sent him exile to the island of Patmos. During the day, he worked in the labor. And during the night, he prayed and received the revelation. And also, we have Andrew. He preached the gospel in Asia. And in one of the places, he talked about, he said they must not worship idols, which the governor worshipped. And the governor was angry with him, and they wanted to kill him, so they decided to give him crucifixion on a X-shaped cross. And this Andrew, he was not afraid at all. And he said, you know, a historian said, when Andrew saw the cross, he was not afraid at all. And he had this burning love coming out of his heart, and he said, "Oh cross, I welcome you many times and more." He was not afraid at all. "I am filled with joy and happiness to come to you, and I have become a disciple of the one who was hung on you. And I've always loved my master who was hung on you. And I have always had the desire to embrace you. Oh, cross, I welcome you." He was not afraid of the cross at all. And because he was arrested, he must have been beaten and flogged so many times. And he must have had a lot of scars and everything. But this governor was so angry that he didn't nail him on the cross, but he just tied him with a rope so that he would suffer the most. But on the first, second, and third day, he was still preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And watching him do that, so many people were moved. The governor was also, he also felt something different. And other people, they were begging him to let him down. But when they all cut all the ropes, he fell and died. And not just these, but all the 12 disciples, except Judas Iscariot, but also including Matthias, was selected in place of Judas Iscariot. All of them became martyrs without any fear, but with thanksgiving and happiness and joy. In this past Easter, we remember the Manmin praises, like the way of martyrdom. "I would not even spare my life. I wouldn't even spare my life." We can remember how the apostles were martyred, and we can also reflect upon ourselves against the examples of the apostles through these praises. And also the disciples. We are confident even before death. We are the disciples of the Lord. We take the way that the Lord took because we have His love. And there's no fear. There's nothing to fear. There's no fear and nothing to fear. So thinking of the ones who were martyred before, they were making up their minds once again to be the martyrs themselves. It is God's love that these songs are given in this past Easter. And God gave us the Holy Spirit so we can go this way of God. This is the love of God. The first reason why He gave us the Holy Spirit. The second reason why He gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit is because He wants to give us power and strength to live by the Word of God. We can be saved only when we live by the Word of God. and we can become true children of God. So in order for us to do that, we absolutely need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need the strength and power given by the Holy Spirit. So as I said in the beginning of the sermon, God opened the way of salvation through Jesus Christ, and He gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit once doesn't mean just by receiving the Holy Spirit, if we can live by the Word of God forever, how good would that be? But we have the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life, and the temptation of the devil. There are so many good things, seemingly good things in the world. So eventually, even though we know in the head, sometimes we commit sins, we go back to the world, then there will be the lamentation of the Holy Spirit in our heart. And because of that mourning of the Holy Spirit, we become afflicted. We feel afflicted in our heart. And we think about the reason why we are not happy. We are not at ease. And we realize that the Holy Spirit is groaning in us. And yet, if we do not realize what is happening, we will be stagnated spiritually. And if we can't get out of it, then we might be on the downslope continually. But the Holy Spirit doesn't give up on us. So Romans 8:26 to 27 says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit intercedes for us before God. He asks for the mercy and compassion and forgiveness of God. Then the Father God gives us the spirit of repentance. Then once the spirit of repentance is given, we can repent of our sins. And we can recover the right of the children of God so that we can vigorously march on in the way of march of faith. So Holy Spirit doesn't leave us like orphans, but He helps us. But let me give you some examples of this case. In 1907, there was great revival in Pyongyang. You probably heard about it. There was this fiery works of the Holy Spirit. Even from 1903, there was this fervor of revival in Korea. And 1907, right from the beginning of the year, there were missionaries and they wanted to have this fire, flame of revival. So they had prayer meetings in the churches. In Jangdaehyun Church in Pyongyang, more than 1,000 people gathered and they prayed. They had a meeting for a week, but the flame wasn't going to be set off. You know, there wasn't really any work of the Holy Spirit. So the missionaries, they were talking to themselves. We did for the whole week, but maybe it's the time to stop this. And maybe we need to go back. But from that week, there was this explosion of the Holy Spirit through Elder Sunju Gil. In the evening, Sunday evening service, instead of sermon, he began to confess his sins as follows. I'm like Achan. You know who Achan is. In the city of Ai, because of him, they lost. I'm like Achan. Because of me, God cannot bless us. About a year ago, when my friend was dying, he called me and said, Elder Gil, I am leaving this world now. Please take care of my household. So I said, of course I will, don't worry. But managing his assets, I stole about $1,000, U.S. dollars. So in today's sense, today's value, $1,000 at that time, it's so much money. I disturbed the work of God, and I will return the money to the widow. And this elder confessed his sin before the congregation. It's not easy for an elder of the church. But this elder, Sunju Gil, confessed his sins. The heavy power of darkness, everybody felt the power was lifted. And something strange happened. The Sunday evening service began at 7, and it continued, and it went on until 2 a.m. People began to confess their sins, and there was this fire of the Holy Spirit. So where there is the work of the Holy Spirit, where there is the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, something beautiful happens. And this, there was this missionary Blair from the United States. In his report, there was another story. There was this Chan Sung Han. He was from a noble family. And though he was from the countryside, he was from a good family. And he married a smart and beautiful wife. He loved her so much, but she had a weakness. She loved shamanism so much. The shamanistic rituals. So in the noble family, they didn't like the fact that the daughter-in-law, she liked shamanism. So the husband advised her not to do that anymore. Nevertheless, she loved it so much and she couldn't stop. So one day, the husband and the wife, they had a quarrel because of this matter. And this Chan Sung Han, he hit her. And she fell. And the husband, Chan Sung Han, he thought she was dead. So, because he became a murderer, he couldn't stay there any longer. So he ran away in the middle of the night. So he went to a distant place in another countryside and he changed the family name. He changed it to Yang instead of Han. So he became Chan Sung Yang. And he was working for a governor, and he became a governor of Pyongyang. So he came to Pyongyang as well. And there was this Russia-Japanese war beginning to break out. But when he was in the countryside, his hometown, he saw that there was a Christian who refused to worship ancestors, and he was beaten to death. So he had a chance to think about what faith is, what Christianity is. But after he came to Pyongyang, he heard the gospel and he accepted the gospel, and he stopped working for the governor because he wanted to keep the Lord's Day holy. So he was attending Jandaehyun Church in Pyongyang. And because he was one of the intellectuals, so he was teaching Koreans to the American missionaries. And through the repentance of Elder Sunju Gil that I just mentioned, through the repentance, great repentance, the Holy Spirit was urging him to repent also. Because he felt such a strong urge. So even though he was so ashamed, he began to confess his sins. I killed my wife in this way. And right at the spot in the church was a person who was so surprised. It was his wife. And she knew it was her husband. So they were reunited. So how would she end up in Pyongyang also? And her story, her side of the story, according to the report of the missionary Blair, and Chan Song ran away thinking his wife was dead. But she wasn't dead, but she just lost consciousness. And this father-in-law of this woman, because he had a lot of knowledge of herbal medicine, he let her recover through medicines and everything. And so he was also sorry for her. So he was an intellectual, he taught her, he educated her. And one day, he visited a friend in Pyongyang, and he heard the gospel, and he accepted Jesus Christ. And he came back to, this woman visited the Pyongyang, and she accepted the gospel. She came back to her hometown, and she preached the gospel to her father-in-law. And the father-in-law was angry, and he said, "If God you're talking about is alive, he will bring my son." And she was kicked out of the house, and she somehow came to Pyongyang. And because she was educated, she was teaching Chinese characters in Pyongyang Chinese school. And you might wonder, there were only 1,500 people in the church, and why wouldn't they recognize each other? They were having alliances, both of them. And also in the beginning of the church history in Korea, the men and women were completely separated. They even had curtains between the men and women. And also when they were giving baptism, they would make a hole on a curtain, and you know, they would put the head in the hole. So at that time, there were no greeting each other between men and women. So that is why they didn't know each other, that they didn't know that they were there. But anyway, through their repentance, they were reunited and they went back to the hometown. And the father said before, if God is really living, he will bring back my son. Then I will believe in Jesus Christ. And they said, the woman said, Father, your son is here. So the father was so moved. He was so happy that his son came back alive. So finally, the whole family accepted Jesus Christ. So where the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, there are beautiful stories, because it's the work of the Holy Spirit that changes the heart of people. He lets us repent. He lets us live by the word of God. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit comes down upon us, he gives us the power and strength in our heart so that we can live by the word of God. So how does the Holy Spirit give us the power and strength? On this earth, we are going through human cultivation anyway. So until we go into spirit, because we committed sins according to the law, spiritual law, that wages of sin is death, God has to allow trials. But even after going into spirit, there's nothing for Satan to accuse us of. But since that time, God refines us himself to make us even bigger vessel and better person. After passing the trials, we'll be only thankful. But while we are going through the trials, it is tormenting, embarrassing, sometimes excruciating. But during these times, the Holy Spirit, like mothers and like good teachers, the Holy Spirit helps us. So let me give you an allegory about this. Even if we don't believe in Jesus Christ, we go through many hardships on this earth. But if somebody understands our heart, our sufferings, and if somebody helps us, stretches out his hand, and if we can stand up, we'll be so thankful. One time I talked about the poet, Bang Mogol Park, and his son, he was a professor at Seoul National University, and he retired. And one of his writings is Dialect and Thug. And he was talking about when he was an elementary school kid. He was in Gyeongsang province and he moved to Seoul. And he had this accent, the dialect. And they have a lot of distinctive accent. So for the Seoul kids, you know, every time he spoke, they were laughing out loud. And so they were making fun of him. So he didn't have any friends and he was so afraid all the time. And he had to walk a distance to go to the school. In the past, at that time, when I was in my elementary school, we didn't have any bags, backpacks, or anything like that. We just had a cloth that would wrap the books, and we would tie it around the waist. And he didn't have any friends to go walk all the way to the school. And every time he spoke, the other kids, they were laughing. So he was lonely. And one time, in a writing class, they were supposed to write a poem. And this Dongyu Park, this little kid, the teacher asked him to come out to the front and read it. And he was reading it. And he knew that they were going to laugh when he was reading. So he read it with a very soft voice. Also, and as he expected, that they were giggling and laughing. But because the teacher asked him to do it, he continued and he finished reading it anyway. But he was so ashamed. But the next day, the teacher said, we'll select five poems, five students from our class to be presented to the whole school. And after a week, he didn't mention whose poem. And after a week, the principal called out the names of the students of whose poems were selected. And from his class, only his name was called. So only his poem was selected for the whole school, and he received an award. And on that day, the teacher called Dongyu to the front, and in front of the whole class, he said, Dongyu, let the light shine on our whole class. And since that day, they knew that if they were making fun of him just because of the accent, the teacher was going to scold them. And the teacher called him and patted on his back of the head and said, I know the kids have been making fun of you because of your accent, but I just ignored it so that you could have strength to overcome. You have the sharp insight, and you're going to be able to write great things. And how happy he must have been. And this little kid, he had burst into tears, and the tears ran down like a river. He couldn't talk about it to his mom or to his dad, that he was being made fun of. He was being picked on by the other kids. But just with this one word of the teacher, all his sorrow went away, and finally he became professor in Seoul National University in Korean literature. And where did this encouragement come from? It came from his teacher. And this teacher was watching him all the time, how he could help him and where to intervene. And right at the moment, he hit the home run. And also, there was this, in the same writing, there was a story about a thug. He became a middle school student, and there was a person who was sitting next to him. So this partner, he was taking him around. And this friend was like a errand boy of the thugs in the marketplace. So he was taken there too, in the marketplace. So there was this other older kids smoking and getting into a group fight. And also, there were these older kids, young men, they were training themselves. They're training their fist. So that's what he was doing too. And he learned how to speak foul language. And it was caught by the teacher. Teacher took notice of that. So the teacher called him, and he took him to the hillside behind the school. And the teacher asked him, You're following the thugs, aren't you? And he gave him a small booklet. It was a poems of Rilke. And you read it today and bring a report tomorrow. So he read it. He had to read it. And I'll see you tomorrow. And so next day they met, and it's the Sin and Punishment of Dostoevsky. So he read it for a week. So he gave him these homeworks, and he received the reports, and it continued until 8 books. And after 8 books, he didn't have to do it. His father was a poet. So he didn't think about reading these so many books. They had a lot of books in the house, but he was following the thugs. But he was full of emotions and capability and ability to write. So because the teacher gave him these books, the poems and Dostoevsky. And so with this guidance of this teacher, he became a famous professor. And it's the same in our faith. While we are going through trials, for him, it was a trial. He was living a hard life. We might think it's not something hard, but for that age, you know, in their adolescence, puberty, it's hard for them. So during those times, there was this person who was helping them, encouraging them. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing for us. In our families, ordinary. The father hits the children with the rod, then the mother comforts them. You know why the dad is doing it? It's because he loves you so much. You have this dream, and you're going to have to do your part in the society. So otherwise, if you keep on doing this, what you've been doing wrong, then you're going to be a bad person. So that is why, to correct you, the father is giving you this discipline. So mother is explaining this and comforting them. So this is the role of the Holy Spirit, is like a mother. So when we hear this voice of the Holy Spirit, what have we learned? We've learned that we have to obey it. Sometimes in the beginning, we might be confused whether it's a voice of the Holy Spirit or not. So Senior Pastor gave us a series of sermons as to how we can distinguish between the voice of the Holy Spirit, discern between the Holy Spirit or not. So when we obey it, something good happens. When we disobey it, something bad happens, and we are not happy. Then we can learn what kind of feeling is really, what kind of voice is really the voice of the Holy Spirit. So we can make use of the Holy Spirit, who comforts us. I cannot get into the details of this hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, but even if we keep on disobeying again and again the voice of the Holy Spirit, keep on disobeying the voice of the Holy Spirit, He will leave us. He cannot stay in our heart. Like in Hebrews chapter 6 and chapter 10, there is extinction of the Holy Spirit, extinguishing of the Holy Spirit from our heart. So if we keep on disobeying the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit will be extinguished in our heart. So to receive the help and encouragement and power from the Holy Spirit, we have to obey His voice. And lastly and thirdly, why does God give us the gift of the Holy Spirit? This world is under the control of the enemy, devil, and Satan. So many people, they don't even want to find out about God. Even if they do, they don't acknowledge Him. They just worship idols. They just do whatever they want. And in their evil thoughts and theories, they make up more evil thoughts and theories. So they don't glorify, they don't honor God, but rather they stand against God. One of the best examples is Darwinism, Darwinian evolutionism. It's just a theory. But so many in so many schools, they teach it as if it is a fact, although it's just a theory. And in this world, those who talk about creation is ridiculed. They are considered like fools. So they have this development of science and theories, so they think these theories are correct, and they have such a strong frameworks of these theories. So, like in the reading passage, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you'll receive the power and become my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So, because by the human power doesn't have the power to break down the theories of men. It can be done only by the power of God. There were so many signs and wonders in the Old Testament. In the Friday All Night Service, there was extraordinary works were talked about. And only through these extraordinary works and power, the theories of men can be broken down. So today, there's so much development of science and knowledge, so just by preaching the gospel, they wouldn't just accept the gospel. They're few, because there is evil upon evil and sin upon sin. So even when Jesus was alive, he said, unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe. And this is the end time. And Jesus said, will I find faith when the Son of Man comes again at the end time. So that is why we need the power of the Holy Spirit, so that the power of God can be shown, can be revealed, so that men, people, can realize that men's thoughts are wrong and only the Word of God is true. So for them to accept this fact, there must be the power of the Holy Spirit, powerful works of the Holy Spirit. So at the end time, at the end of the end, people wouldn't accept the gospel just with the ordinary powerful works, because there is so much science. And suppose there is a TB, then you can just take medicines, and why do you have to pray about it? You can just take medicines. And even if you pray and TB is healed, it's not something amazing. So, for the people living at the end of time, we must be able to show really extraordinary works that people have to. There's no way for them but to accept that it is the work of God. So for us who are living at the end of time, for us to be able to accept Jesus Christ, and for us to be able to cast away sins and evil and become true children of God, God came up with a very extraordinary measure, and it is the power of recreation through our shepherd. Power of recreation is not the power to create something out of nothing. It is to renew or recreate what is already created. So the power of recreation can be summarized into three things. The first is, in the nature, to recreate the nature where the order of nature is broken. For example, Korea has very hot summer, especially in August. And only in Muju, where we have summer retreat, where we have 25 degrees, while all the other parts of the country is like 34 degrees. I thought maybe 1 degree is not so important, but just by increasing 1 degree or lowering 1 degree, there could be earthquakes or typhoons. I came to learn that it is scientifically 1 degree is very important. And changing the temperature by 1 degree cannot be done by human power, but it is shown by the power of God through our shepherd. And also, second example, let me give you an example of a fetus who had Down syndrome, or changing the gender of a fetus, boy to a girl, and girl to a boy. It can't be done by men. And what is created, it is renewed or recreated. So there is a power of recreation on human body. And The most important power is to change the hearts of men. Korah had to be destroyed. Achan had to be destroyed. And Ananias and Sapphira had to be destroyed. But at the end time, if we receive the power of recreation, then even those evil people, they can change their minds. The heart can be changed. That is the power contained in the power of recreation. And once it is completely 100% completed, so many people will be able to see the power of recreation and understand that God is living and what is written in the Bible is true. And they will think about how they are supposed to live, what kind of life they have to lead, so that they can come into the boundary of salvation. So many people will be able to come in there. And the enemy devil cannot just watch it. And just as he thought, enemy devil, just as he thought, who thought they could rule over the human beings forever if they killed Jesus Christ, and that's what they are doing, the same thing at the end of time. And they are trying to stop this power of recreation by all means possible, with all their power, with everything they can. So what do we have to do now? We understand what is going on in the spiritual realm. So what do we have to do now? We have to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in us. We have to hear His voice and keep our faith. Being in spirit or whole spirit, we've learned that it's not safe because 99% was done by somebody else's power, by the power of the shepherd. And if we leave the space of the shepherd, we are nothing. We are just like rocks. So what do we have to do now? Of course, to be able to overcome the power of the devil, there is the law that the higher dimension rules over lower dimension. We have the power of the third dimension, fourth dimension of heaven. And if you reach this level, we can also subdue the power of the devil. So in order to reach that level, we have to cast away sins and evil and go into spirit. But we didn't do it by our own strength. So until the Lord comes back, we have to understand that we did only 1%. And if we think we stand, we have to be even more careful. We have to be humble until the day the Lord comes back. Even if we are ahead now, it doesn't mean we are really ahead. We see the marathons. Even those who were ahead, if they go sideways or somewhere else, they're out. If they go off the track, then they're disqualified. So what do we have to do? God doesn't leave us like orphans. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave us like orphans. We have to hear His voice and obey His voice in our march of faith until the end, until we wrap up this march of faith in our lives. Let us be wise until we reach New Jerusalem. Let us pray together, thinking about the message.
Hallelujah, Almighty Father God of love. Please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.